Good morning. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue Thursday, June 20th. We're going to take these items not in the order they're printed. I'm opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 393B.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 393B authorizes translator districts to annex cities where cable television corporations operate or have ceased to operations, and city electors approve annexation. So essentially, there's one translator district in the state, and the service territory is currently sort of a donut shape around cities that have cable service, and the fee that is imposed on those properties, so if you were to use that television service, is $100 per year if you use the service, but only the areas and only the properties outside the city can be assessed that fee, and this proposal would be to include the cities through a ballot approval process in order to include the properties of in individuals that are using the service.
Thank you. Questions for LRO before we begin testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may be, if this is going to be addressed by someone who's testifying, that's fine, but it would be great to have a description of what a translator district is for the record.
We will have that.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you for the question. Alex McCadden, would you come up, please? We have only one person signed up. Anyone else? Okay.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Alex McCadden. I'm the executive director of Blue Mountain Translator District, Oregon's last translator district, serving Union and Baker counties, and I am here to testify in favor of Senate Bill 393. So first, a translator district is a special district that operates a translator. A translator is a specific type of TV broadcast station that relays TV signals from one geographic area to another. We take TV signals from Boise and Portland and bring them to Union and Baker counties so that people who have an antenna can see something when they connect it to their television. There are only a couple of other TV stations operating in that region. Tri-Cities has their Fox station located up in that region. Portland's Univision station is there and OPB is there. Otherwise, we're the only source for over-the-air television. So that's what a translator district does. And we're the only one in the state as of 2008. The Maupin translator district closed because they had a lot of administrative problems related to the situation described by the LRO analyst. Administration is really difficult because of our inability to incorporate cities when we were created in 1978. And that's what this bill is really about, is allowing us to submit the question of annexation to voters. A couple reasons. One is that in 1978, all the cities in the area had access to cable. Now I believe it's just LeGrand and Baker City. There were some smaller cable companies and a nonprofit that operated a cable service in Elgin, but they've all kind of folded. So really, if you live outside of LeGrand or Baker City, your access to TV is basically satellite streaming. Sometimes broadband connections aren't available for a lot of people in that area or us. That's basically your options in the area. The problems we've experienced are really related to revenue collection. Like we said, we have to send a letter every year that says, hey, you live in the boundaries of the translator district. If you're going to use our TV signals, please pay a fee. If not, exempt yourself. And if you don't reply, then we place the charge on somebody's property taxes. Now, with 10 cities that we entirely surround, we're not really able to effectively go around on a regular basis and check for the presence of an antenna. I volunteered to do that on my weekends last fall and summer. I found about 300 unregistered television antennas in the area. That made it really difficult. You know, there's really no way to communicate to people that this needs to be done effectively. So our goal is to annex everybody in a range of TV signals, if voters permit it, to be able to send them this notice once per year. There are a couple of other things this bill hopes to address. The first is that people who live in the cities, we make decisions that affect their property taxes, but they cannot serve on our board of directors. So this bill would permit people who live in cities and pay that service charge to serve on our board. Also, ODFW owns a few properties that make payments in lieu of tax, and they do not return the service charge liability notices that we send every year. So we end up charging ODFW for not replying, and this bill exempts state properties so that this doesn't happen in the future. Do you have any additional questions for me?
Representative Rushkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just so I understand this, it's people inside a municipality receive this service but don't pay for it or exempt from having to pay for it. Is that correct?
Yeah, we can't inform them of their need to pay for it unless we go to their house and find an antenna.
Okay, and then a follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair. So if I were in a city or municipality that's currently exempt, and why would I vote to pay for something that I'm getting for free right now?
Well, the signal is still not free. Even if you live in a city, you are required to pay the service charge. Mm-hmm. This would just allow us to send everybody in range of our signals this service charge rather than having to go to their house and look for their antenna first.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a service that is what they're asking for is the ability to opt in and incorporate other areas, smaller cities throughout Baker and Union counties. This is in my district, and Alex and I have talked repeatedly. The options, if you live in Sumter or Halfway or Haines, right now is you either have satellite subscription for $100 a month, or streaming on less than viable broadband services, or nothing. This provides that service. If you live in Baker City, Charter or whatever the local cable provider is there, but there are people that don't pay that. This provides a service to rural counties and smaller incorporated cities. When the Translator District was set up, it excluded some cities. This now allows those cities to opt in by a vote of the people, and people can subscribe and make this a viable financial transaction. So right now there's people that don't know about it well enough. They put up an antenna and they watch it. They're utilizing the service because they're in Halfway or Richland or Keating or any of those small little cities. It's hard for the district to enforce their subscription service. So this allows that ability to happen.
Representative Marsh.
Thank you. Thank you for all of your explanations. It's a new concept to me, so I appreciate it. So if a city opts in, does that mean that everyone is then billed for the service?
That's correct. Everybody would be sent a service charge liability notice unless
they watch TV.
Yeah, the goal is, there are a lot of antennas we can't really expect. This bracelet on my wrist is actually a television antenna. If that's what somebody's using to watch TV, then we can't really bill them. So this allows us to bill everybody in range of our signals, including the people in cities. Now, you do have the ability to opt out if you're not using the signal, and that wouldn't change as a result of this bill.
And a question, follow up. And what would someone who doesn't watch TV and doesn't want to pay have to do to opt out?
So the service charge liability notice we send includes a box that says, are you not using this? Please mark it and then send it back. So they just scan us an email copy of that or take it to our office or mail it back to us.
And that's just on their honor?
Yes.
Follow up. You have no way to affirm whether or not they are actually watching TV?
No, we do not. Falsifying the form is a Class B misdemeanor under state law, but we don't really have the ability to go out and investigate and prosecute that personally.
And one more question. How much will it cost? I mean, if you annex a city, presumably then costs are spread across more people. So what would an average household pay?
So every household pays $100 a year.
It's $100?
Yeah, the charge is approved by voters.
A year as compared to a month?
Yes.
So this is for access to television that people in other parts of the state just sort of take for granted. All sorts of entertainment shows, access to news.
Yes.
People might want news. Weather alerts, Ducks and Beavers football games. Just
mostly,
regular TV.
Mostly just ducks.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Ouch. Representative Finley, did you have a follow-up?
No, I don't. That's okay. Fine, I think.
Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. We'll be at ease for just a moment. I'm closing the public hearing on Senate Bill 851. I'm opening a work session. 393. Oh, excuse me. I'm closing 393B. I'm opening the work session on Senate Bill 393B. Can I have a motion, please?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 393B to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Finley moves Senate Bill 393B to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. Representative Finley, are you willing to carry this? Thank you. The carrier is Representative Finley. There's no other work to do on Senate Bill 393. I'm closing that work session. I am now opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 851A.
Maybe 5 years.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. For Senate Bill 851A, this deals with GILTI and other provisions of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I've uploaded a table to OLIS that goes through section by section what this bill's doing, and so I'll talk through this now a little bit since it's the first time that you've seen the bill. So the first section and the third section are just adding sections 2 and 4 to these chapters, so they're kind of just technical things for ELSI. The second section, so this is the third row on that table there, deals with the one-time repatriation. This was dealt with partially by the 2018 session, and this clarifies that there must be an add-back of amounts federally deducted under the one-time repatriation for individuals. And I put the IRC references on this rightmost column because oftentimes you'll hear people refer to these when they're discussing this topic. Section 4 deals with GILTI. It indicates that Oregon will treat GILTI in the same manner as a dividend. So this is to kind of clarify for taxpayers how Oregon will treat this type of income. Then after that, we have a technical change just dealing with style. The next row, again, deals with GILTI. And this requires the amounts deducted at the federal level for GILTI to be added back to federal taxable income in Oregon. And this is something that we discussed during the informational meeting on GILTI, I think a few days ago. Then the next row indicates Oregon will provide an 80% dividends received deduction for GILTI at the state level. So we are effectively disallowing the federal deduction, which is 50%. And instead of that, we are allowing an 80% dividends received deduction within Oregon. The next row deals with foreign source dividend income. Basically, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is part of that. Individuals receive 100% federal deduction for dividends received under 245 Cap A. And so to avoid a double deduction by allowing individuals in Oregon to take an additional DRD, this section clarifies that because there is a federal 100% deduction, we are not allowing an additional 80% at the state level. So again, we're trying to avoid a double deduction there. The next row indicates or provides taxpayers an indication of how or when they will receive a factor representation for the amounts subject to taxation. So the big point here is that the amounts that are not being taxed in Oregon or that were deducted at the state level will not be given factor representation as well. So it would be only the amounts that are subject to taxation. And additionally, it would depend on that taxpayer's circumstances. Section 6 talks about applicability dates. So the personal income repatriation that I mentioned earlier, this applies to tax years 2017 and 2018. This is the one-time repatriation, so this is not an ongoing measure, which is why it's limited to those 2 years. Then sections 4 and 5, which deal with GILTI and the foreign source portion of dividends, they apply to tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2018, and this is when these became effective at the federal level. Section 7 indicates the Department of Revenue will not impose penalties and interest related to this personal income repatriation change, and that's for the tax years that are affected by this. Section 8 deals with applicability dates, indicating that Section 7, the penalty and interest portion, again deals with tax years 2017 and 2018, which are the only years that are affected by that, by the one-time repatriation. And then Section 9 is the effective date. There is a minimal fiscal impact, and I do have, and I believe no one signed up to testify, for the revenue impact, because we believe these are kind of clarifications to existing law or current enforcement, there's no revenue impact. I've given a background of this, and we kind of think of this as three main conceptual changes. The first is this personal repatriation that I discussed. This is the one-time repatriation, but on the personal income side. Because the Department of Revenue was enforcing it this way, we're assuming that if that enforcement or that enforcement is correct, and we're adding those amounts back. And so the baseline revenue change is nothing, given that it was already being enforced this way. With GILTI, it's kind of the same story, because the department indicated that this is how they would likely proceed with enforcing GILTI in the absence of legislation. Our baseline estimate isn't any different from previously stated. And then again, finally, with the foreign source portion of dividends, that's the 245 cap A. It's the same story, since we're avoiding a double deduction. We believe the department would have prevented the double deduction in the absence of legislation, and so there's no revenue impact here.
Thank you. I just want to check in again. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone here to testify on this bill? Okay. Questions? Yes, Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could we ask DOR to come up just for a quick question?
Certainly.
Madam Mayor, that's good. I'm going to escape.
She was going to get through.
She thought she was going to make it through.
No committee with Werner Reschke.
No, it's tough as it is.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Deanna Mack, Department of Revenue. I'm here to answer any questions, I hope, any questions that you may have.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Deanna, for coming forward. Is DOR enforcing it this way because of rules that you've put in place right now, or is this just your interpretation of what things are, and you need the statute to then give you some legal framework?
Madam Chair and Representative Reschke, I think that the GILTI income is not, it's a new category of income under the law, and it isn't exactly like current controlled foreign corporation subpart F income, but it's very, very similar. And so we would expect to, if we were left to rulemaking, we would expect to treat it just like we do for the CFC subpart F income, which would be eligible for the 80% dividend received deduction and not the 50% under the federal law, to eliminate the double deduction potential. So we would probably go down that path for rulemaking if you guys didn't take action in statute, which most taxpayers prefer that you take action in statute rather than rely to us to make rules.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Questions? No one has signed up to testify. So I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 851, and I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 851.
Chair Nathanson, I move Senate Bill 851A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Marsh moves Senate Bill 851A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Yes, Representative Marsh.
Thank you. I'll be a courtesy yes. I just want to take a look at a few more things, but just be a yes for right now.
Okay. Thank you. Representative.
Thank you, Manager. I would like to thank this is a great capsule of what's going on, and it explains it very well.
Yes.
This is my fourth or fifth presentation on this. prior Chair Barnard beat the heck out of us with GILTI in the 18th session. So, but this explained it very well. Thank you.
Any other discussion? We have a motion in front of us. Any objections? Motion passes. who would like to carry this to the floor?
Carry the last.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Smith Warner.
I will lean heavily on LRO materials.
Good. We have completed our work. I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 851A. We're done for the day for this meeting. We do meet again today. Closing the meeting.